The August 4th primary is tomorrow, and for the first time in a century, Seattle will be voting for city council members by district. Daniel Beekman says that Seattle voters aren't paying that much attention. Beekman is a political reporter for the Seattle Times. He told David Hyde that on the eve of this primary, the city is grappling with some big divisive issues, including...
Are city officials going to make the city more affordable as rents increase and home prices increase? And then how does that relate to zoning and how the city sort of changes in terms of what can be built and what it looks like, how urban it looks?
Yes, so stuff that may not actually even be on the table is hugely controversial. Changes to single-family zoning, sounds like we may not actually get that, at least right away. Changes in terms of rent control, something that's not really on the table since the state would have to allow the city to do it. And yet these things seem to be really dividing the city, seem to be kind of crystallizing public opinion when it comes to this election. What are you going to be looking for on Tuesday to try to divine where the voters are going?
Well, I think one of the biggest things to look for on Tuesday is how the current city council members running for re-election do. Whether any of them fall out, that's unlikely, but it's possible. And even if they don't fall out and they do advance to the general election, do any of them get a scare from a challenger candidate? Position 8 is a good race to look at in that respect because you have current council president Tim Burgess, who sort of represents the direction the city council has been going for several years. And if he does really well and sails through to the general election with most of the vote, then I guess that means that the voters, at least those who are voting in the primary, agree with the direction the city council has been going. Then you also have John Grant, the former executive director of the Tenants Union of Washington State, who has been pushing really hard on rent control, has said that the mayor's housing affordability plan doesn't go far enough in terms of preventing displacement. And if he does well, that could point to real anxiety among voters about rents, about housing affordability, and wanting to see city government jump in even more than it has already in terms of protecting tenants.
Also, indie rocker John Roderick, what would it tell you if he did well?
It's interesting. It depends on how much people have been clued into his campaign. I think it could mean that people just want something fresh and new. And here's this guy who's definitely bringing something fresh and new to the table with a background in indie rock. But also, if they've been paying attention to his campaign, he's really been positioning himself as a quote-unquote urbanist. So someone who wants the city to be bolder in terms of transit, in terms of density to a certain extent, in terms of sort of trying new things policy-wise and sort of remaking itself in, as a more urban place. So you really do have three distinct visions there. And then John Persak is the fourth candidate in that race.
And this is also the first time a lot of voters have ever seen district elections. There's also district elections. What are you going to be looking for there?
Well, some of the interesting things that we've seen so far are a lower barrier to entry for candidates. So one of the reasons why we think we see almost 50 candidates total in the primary is because it just costs less money to mount a basic campaign in a district. There are fewer voters to reach by mail and knocking on doors and that sort of thing. But we've also seen a lot of independent money flow in the last couple of weeks from independent expenditure committees to possibly sway some of the races in a big way. So I guess I'm going to be looking for whether that sort of grassroots type of campaigning with districts carries the day or whether the big money coming in at the last minute carries the day.
All that grassroots campaigning must mean there's going to be a huge increase in turnout. What are you expecting in terms of turnout?
It doesn't look too great so far, partly I think because of how great the weather's been this summer and people have a lot of other things on their mind, earthquake, et cetera. But what people have told me is that there's a lot of excitement in political circles. People that pay attention to politics every year are paying extra close attention this year and are really excited to see what happens. People who may not pay attention ever, I'm not sure that they're tuning in just because it's district elections.
They're at the beach.
Yeah.
All right. How's that turnout going to affect the results, do you think?
I think the turnout, a low turnout or a normal turnout even, which is usually low in the August primary, will be especially impactful in some of the district races with a whole ton of people running. So District 1, which is West Seattle, Delridge, South Park, has, I think, 9 candidates, and District 5 in North Seattle has 8, I believe. And in those races, with so many candidates and so few voters, someone could end up winning a race with 5,000, 6,000 votes, and it's just really hard to predict.
Daniel Beekman, political reporter for the Seattle Times, speaking with David Hyde. Now, if you plan to vote and have not yet done it, your ballot must be postmarked by 8 p.m. tomorrow evening. So fill it out, get it to a drop box, a van, or accessible voting center. To find out more, you can go to King County Elections.